Some of you might have heard the story of my short time in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's a story of hospitality. I had to tell it. My wife's shaking her head. I have to tell it because it's a wonderful story. I went to a mission conference in Chicago, and I was heading to near Windsor, Ontario, Sunday morning, very early in the morning, rushing to get to a morning worship of a church there. And my car started to peter out. It broke down on the side of the highway. I called AAA towing. It brought me to a repair shop. And as I was about to pay the tow truck driver, I couldn't find my wallet. So here I was, car broken down, no wallet in the U.S., and I just sat and prayed. I said, God, I don't know what to do. And then the thought came to me, this is the Lord's Day. I'm going to do what I know I need to do. I'm going to go worship you. I'm going to find a church. And I realized at the same moment, I had forgotten my bike in the trunk of the car. So I put it all together, and I biked into Kalamazoo. I went to the police station, found the Yellow Pages, found a church, and a Reformed Baptist church. And I biked there, and as I was biking into the driveway of the parking lot, the last car left from the morning service. So I spent the afternoon in the forest, just praying, waiting for the evening service. Came in, it was raining, came into the church, and they're asking me, what is this guy doing with his bicycle dripping with, having been poured on? But they welcomed me into their worship. And three times during the service, they prayed for me. The pastor prayed for me. I was invited to someone's house. It was a mansion. I had a four-course meal, leftovers, but I stayed in a beautiful room, shower. It was just wonderful. I laid there in bed that night thinking, Lord, what have you done? You're teaching me about missions, how to trust in you. And I experienced Christian hospitality. They drove me then after the next morning to the repair shop, found my wallet there, car was fixed in a few hours. I was on my way home by evening. I made it back to Ottawa. I was happy to be home. But the second best place after home is when you're invited into someone else's home, even as a stranger. This is what hospitality is. The word hospitality in the Bible is philoxenia. Philoxenia, if you take those two words broken down, that word broken down, the two is love of stranger. Love of the stranger. That's what hospitality is. And there are two passages in the New Testament that use this word. Romans 12:13, it says, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. Also, Hebrews 13:12, do not neglect to show hospitality. And in English, it adds to the stranger. But the word hospitality means hospitality, love for the stranger. And it also says, thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Perhaps we don't know. But the word hospitality, philoxenia, is actually not used here in this passage, but is certainly there as a theme, the theme of practicing hospitality, as we see this one, Gaius, who is the recipient of this letter initially, is someone who is faithful in practicing hospitality. That's very clear in this passage. And we're going to see in this passage three purposes of practicing hospitality, because it's not so much the how we want to see here, but the why. Why practice hospitality? We have these three purposes, answering the why question of hospitality. This letter is about welcoming, just as it was in 2 John, welcoming. Do you remember how this letter in 2 John was written by the Apostle John to this elect lady and her children, and they were not to welcome the false teacher who would come to them and want to spread the false teaching. They were actually not to practice hospitality to those kinds of traveling teachers. In this letter, they were to welcome those who were traveling teachers as they saw them as brothers in Christ, as they were brothers. So this letter is also about hospitality. and welcoming. And we have these opening words here, just briefly, just to mention, this is a very standard greeting in that era, but Apostle John uses something a bit beyond that. If you write an email, you might start off your first line saying, I hope everything is well with you. But look at how the Apostle John says it in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may go, that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. What do you see here in these words? John's concern, not just for his physical health, but also his spiritual health. You see, the word health here is the word that we use in other parts in the New Testament as sound, sound words, sound doctrine. So we're talking about healthy words, healthy doctrine. It's the same word there, healthy soul, healthy body. His concern is both physical and for spiritual health. And we also see in this letter, the same as we saw in the other letter, his concern, or his rejoicing, his joy, when he realizes that this man also is walking in the truth. Gaius is walking in the truth, and he's rejoicing in that. He has no greater joy, he says, when he sees his children walking in the truth. If we're talking here now about how this man was practicing hospitality and how we want to apply that to the church in practicing hospitality, or even your families practicing hospitality, we want to see what the purpose is and the why. That's what we're going to see in verses 5 to 8. The purpose, the three purposes. The first is to show love. The second is to send out. And the third is to work together. So the first is to show love in verse 5 and a little first into verse 6. He's doing a faithful thing, this beloved Gaius. He's doing a faithful thing. This man who was faithful, who was walking in the truth, he was walking in the truth and in love, because he's commended as someone who was receiving people into his home because he loved them. He demonstrated that love. And we have here the Apostle John commending him. It's a commendation to this man he's writing a letter to. As he was receiving these teachers, it's a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. That's where we see the hospitality. He's welcoming strangers into his home. As strangers as they are, you recognize them as brothers, and you have welcomed them into your midst. This love that I was shown in Kalamazoo, this love that we see in the home of Gaius, showing in all his effort to demonstrate this love to his brother, of how much he welcomes him, is what hospitality is. Do we welcome also the stranger in our midst? Do we get strangers coming, visiting? I think we have perhaps some here, but we have some visitors that come often. Ottawa is a place where people come to visit. They want to see our capital city. They come in our midst. Maybe they have family in the city, and they also want to come and worship with us. And so they're found in our midst, but they're strangers to us. We might have people who come, and they are visiting for the first time. And that takes a lot of courage. I heard recently how someone said, I had to really be very courageous in coming here, not knowing a single soul in the place. But I picked up my courage and I came, and she was very happy that she had come. Well, that's the stranger who comes in our midst. How do we receive them? How do we welcome them? You might think to yourself, I could never go up to a stranger and say hi and introduce myself. I'm not that type of person to do that. But you have a stranger in your midst. How would you feel if you went to a church and you were that stranger and no one came to you to say hi or even smiled at you? That happened to us. We went to a church. I won't mention the church. But we sat there, came in. Even our children were very One of them was loud. I had to take him out. So we were very known there. We were heard. And then we sat down at the end of the service, sat there. No one talked to us. We left. What kind of report do you think we would have given to other churches? And I won't give a bad report to that of that church. Maybe that was just a first-time experience. But if there was a report, would we say that we were shown tremendous love, tremendous hospitality as strangers? Not that time. When do we have people coming in our midst and you are coming early and you see them, do you have a moment to say hi? Or after the service, when you look around and the service is over, do you lock eyes with your friend and go to your friend and talk to them, the first person that you talk to? Or do you look around first to someone that is sitting there giving you 5 seconds, 30 seconds to be greeted? Do you look at that person and go to them when you see them? I know people here do that, and it's wonderful. That's showing genuine love. And when you show genuine love, it's out of interest. Ask questions. Where are they coming from? And find ways in which you can help them. If they're coming even through Ottawa for a short time, how can you help them? They're in our city. We want to provide hospitality for them. There was someone who came last Lord's Day, and I put this to the test, where I could not host this person. He was a believer in Christ, but I knew that he would be very happy to go to someone's place for lunch. The first person I went to said, of course, not even meeting that person, of course that person can come to our house. And I was so overjoyed to know that there are people here that would be ready to receive that person right away. So in walking into this church, are they going to be received and welcomed with love as this man was doing in his church, loving the stranger? And this itself, especially speaking to the men here, do you know that hospitality, practicing hospitality, is a qualification of an elder? Practicing hospitality, it's there in 1 Timothy 3, Titus. Also, there is a list for those who are widows, who are actually put on a list, and there are qualifications for that widow who serve in the church. They also know how to practice hospitality. They've proven that they are hospitable women in welcoming the stranger as a practice. Now, if we look at the scriptures in hospitality, this is in the biblical term of hospitality. Luke chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, it speaks of the great banquet that is given here, and it's a parable where when you give a banquet or dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. Who should you invite instead? When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You can invite your friends. You can invite your neighbors, the people that you love. And that's wonderful. We host them. But that's not the biblical term of hospitality. That's not actually what hospitality is. It's inviting those people who are strangers, and especially those who are weak and powerless, who will not be able to repay you. That's a biblical definition of hospitality. And that will be remembered on the final day of judgment. Matthew chapter 25, we have these words. Let me go to verse 35. When the king said to those in the right, come, you who are blessed, my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That is remembered on this day of judgment before the king. And then you may ask, when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? And the king answers, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, when you did this to a brother, you did it to me. the king says. Who are we serving when we welcome the stranger in our midst, in the church, in our homes? A brother and sister is not a stranger, really. It's a brother in Christ. And it doesn't matter when you might say, I'm not ready to host this person. I haven't cleaned my house. All I have in my fridge are leftovers. I don't know this person. It'll just be awkward. Still, hospitality is welcoming them, and they're not a stranger. They're family. They're brother and sister to you. And they're not just brother and sister. As you welcome them, you're welcoming Jesus. That's what the king said. You did it for me. You're doing it for me, Jesus says. So do you love Jesus that much that you would welcome the stranger? This is what Jesus did for us. He left his Father, his home in heaven. The Father sent his Son, and the Son, Jesus, came to his own. Though his own did not receive him, but whoever who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, who believed in his name, that they would be children of God. That is the welcome that we make for Jesus. And this is exactly what he does. He comes to the church. He comes to the churches. He came to the churches in Asia Minor. We read in Revelation 2 and 3. The church in Laodicea, do you know what he says to the church? He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and sit with them and eat with them and he with me. It's actually in the singular there. When we welcome Jesus, he is a lampstand in our midst. When we welcome others, the strangers, as though we are welcoming him in our midst. Is he at the center of our worship in our midst? Welcoming them into this stranger, into our homes as we welcome the brother or sister in our midst and even into our lives. That's the first purpose, is to show love in welcoming. The second purpose is to send out. The second purpose of practicing hospitality is to send out. Let me read verse 6 and 7. Who testified to your love before the church, you would do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. The word sending out, that's what he was doing. He was sending them out. They came to him, and he was then sending them out on their journey. Sending forth. It's implicit in the understanding of sending them out with the needed supplies, the financial support, sending them out from the church in a way that says who honors God in a manner worthy of God. This is the partnership that the church has with those who come, we host, and we send. Now, it's speaking more particularly here who are those who are traveling teachers. These are the ones who are sent out from the church. And Paul speaks of these kinds of as those who that he went to as a missionary to these churches, and they sent him out with the needed support. In Philippi, he calls them partners in the ministry, partners in the gospel. And he says, I was sent out with gifts that you brought to me through Epaphroditus. And he calls it a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, so that all, this is my God will supply, now he says, every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This sending out with that financial support was for the sake of the name. Look at verse 7. For they had gone out for the sake of the name. Orthodox Jews use the word Hashem as the name. But what is the name for us? The name is that beautiful name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sending out in the name of Jesus. And that sending has already happened. Jesus has already commissioned his church to make disciples of the nations as they have been sent. As a father sent me, so I send you. And as they're going out, they're discipling the nations in the name, baptizing in the name, that name. And that sending we see in the book of Acts coming from Antioch, this beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit setting apart Paul and Barnabas and sending them out. It says the Spirit sent out Paul and Barnabas for their mission, and also the church sent them out. So together is the sending out from the church, that commissioning of Christ for the church to go and establish the church among the nations. And then the second part of that verse 7, it says, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. As they were sent out, as Gaius was sending out those traveling missionaries, he was sending them out so that they would not have to go to unbelievers, to Gentiles, to the pagan world to find support. The support was coming from the church alone. Full support. They did not have to ask outside of the church, fully relying on the church for support. And there is this document called the Didache, if you've ever come across it. It's fascinating. Late 1st century, early 2nd century, likely dated. And it's the teaching of the 12 apostles. It was highly respected and regarded by the early church. It's not scripture. It's not on par with scripture, but it's very interesting what we find in these chapters. In chapter 11, it says, whoever comes and teaches, all that was taught before that in chapter 1 to 10, it says, whoever comes and teaches, that is the traveling teacher, receive him as you would the Lord. He should not remain with you more than one day, and if he has need, also another. But if he remains 3 days, he's a false prophet. When they call them apostles, that's missionaries today, when the missionary goes out, he should take nothing except a loaf of bread until he arrives at his night's lodging. If he asks for money, he's a false prophet. Why? It's because these traveling missionaries, these teachers, were to come and rely simply, without even asking, on the Lord for that support. And if they ask, it was showing that they were not relying on the Lord, and they were looking to take advantage of the church instead of understanding their commission, that they were sent out and that Lord would supply for them. And this is why we have the instruction in verse 8, therefore we ought to support people like these, that they are fellow workers. We ought to support these traveling teachers, these missionaries. And it's my honor as a former missionary, having served in Sudan, South Sudan, for almost 10 years, that we were sent out, I was sent out from this church in 2006. Every 3 years, we would come back and we would do what we'd call deputation. We would visit churches and we would speak of what the Lord had done through our work there in South Sudan. Just as Paul and Barnabas went back to Antioch, and it says that they declared all that God had done on their missionary journey. And that's what we were doing as well. We were declaring, we were testifying of what God had done in our work. And I calculated all the churches that we went to, and it was more than half of the number of churches in the RP Church of North America. And we even went to Northern Ireland, for a couple presentations there. But as we traveled, we were grateful. We didn't have to ask. And we knew that the church had supported us and was continuing to support us. And we have new fields now where they're not having to ask. It's a simple trust in the Lord, that the Lord will supply for their needs through the church. There is no lack. Now, here in Ottawa, 2006, how many years ago was that? That's how long it's been since we have sent someone out from this church. When was the last time we sent out a church planter to plant in Canada? It's well over 20 years. Who's next? Who will go and be sent out from this church with the full support of the church? You see, God, in his being, there's an impulse in his nature and his character to send. God is a sending God. He sent Abraham, he sent Moses, he sent the prophets, he sent his son. And his son came and said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. There's a sentness to the church. Just as the Lord said to Isaiah, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, the prophet said, here am I, send me. There is a need for the church to have those people in the church to say, here am I, send me. Who's next to be sent from this church? Who will go plant churches across Canada, go to the ends of the earth to establish the church of Jesus Christ? When God sets a man apart, the Spirit and the church confirms that call on that man's life, sending him out by the Spirit, there will be the needed support. And you, those who remain, will be fellow workers, as it says. We ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers. There is a participation in all of this, in the sending, in this great enterprise of discipling the nations. And that's the third purpose of practicing hospitality, and that is to work together. It's to work together. Verse 8, we are fellow workers for the truth. Only some are called and sent out as missionaries, church planters, itinerant ministries, but all are called to be part of this great mission effort, working together. You see, in verse 8 in the NIV translation, it says, we ought therefore to show hospitality. It actually uses the word there, show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. The truth. That's the purpose of working together, for the truth, for the name, for the sake of the name, working hand in hand, supporting those in that work. And I appreciate our minister who brings to our attention what God is doing around the world in the RP Church. We pray for Scotland, Ireland, Australia, and all the mission efforts in the RP Church around the world and Global Alliance. The work that he does to inform us of this, that we are participating, we are working together with those who are there and those who are sent. And there is, in the RP Church of North America, a mission agency. If you haven't heard of it, it's called RP Global Missions. And to help people understand how they are part of this, as I serve with RP Global Missions, we put together a visual. It's a funnel. We call it RPGM Funnel. And picture it this way. Inside the funnel, there are various layers as they enter in. Just a basic exposure to missions, training, short-term trips, mid-term trips with training prior to that, missionary cross-training, and then training in a community for people who are looking to go long-term as they go through the funnel and are sent out. Then on the sides of the funnel, the support of those in training and going, we have prayer. Praying as we pray for the RP Church around the world, praying for the mission efforts. And then giving this financial return to the Lord, to this church, and a portion of those funds going toward this mission effort, furthering mission efforts, and the mobilizing of the church. Everyone, every member participating, engaging in the advancement of the work of missions. And you can talk to me later how RP Global Mission does that more in detail. Engaging in mission locally and globally, because there may be individuals who go and sent out, but they cannot do it alone. There's a working together, receiving. If someone were to come, and one of these missionaries coming to our church to present what God is doing, we welcome them, we receive them. This is the hospitality that Gaius was to give to those who were coming to him. And so we have this work effort, this team work, just as the Apostle Paul. He had a constellation of people around him, men and women, who were working together with him in this mission effort. Fellow workers, he calls them. Philippians 4:3, he says, they were laboring side by side with me in the gospel, with him in that work, fellow workers. And the word actually is related to the word synergy, working in this synergy together, this team effort, teamwork. So do you know anyone that you can come alongside and support and help in any way, offering your time, resources? We know some people that need that, who are laboring, and those who are faithful in those efforts, that you can come alongside. And again, the purpose is to show love to those. The purpose is to send them out. The purpose is to work together in the truth. And you think of all the things that you do, you spend your time doing, is there anything better than to be engaged in this work and in working together with others in the church for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anything better than that? Ask yourself, what are you giving your time to? Is there anything you can lay aside with your time, knowing that there's such weight and importance and purpose in this mission effort, that you can give your time, your energy, and you can be participating? It involves rearranging priorities. It involves rearranging schedules. But when you see the purpose, you see the sake, for the sake that you are doing this for. Now, maybe you're sitting there all this time and you're thinking all kinds of reasons why not to practice hospitality. It's not the right time for me. And that's fine. God knows. On a day like last Lord's Day, we were not prepared to be able to host someone. Maybe there's a season you're going through. It's not the time. And God knows and understands. But the command, which is not burdensome, comes to us to practice hospitality. It's a command. And yet, if these three purposes to understand, explain the why to that command does not stir your heart, the greatest purpose to practice hospitality is still yet. And it is this, that God has shown to us that he is one, a being who has practiced hospitality. He has welcomed us in his Son, Jesus Christ. When we were strangers and separate from him because of our sin, alienated from him, he came to us and he invited us to come and sit with him at the table. There's a picture of heaven of a great banquet, and all the nations will come and sit at this table. And he's inviting all to come. And even those who don't come to that first invitation, he says, go into the highways and byways and invite all, the lame, the crippled, the blind, just invite them. Those who know that they are sinners, let them come. And I will wash away their sin. And I will put on them this wedding garment that they can be able to enter into this banqueting table in my house, where I sit at the table. That's hospitality, where once we were strangers, but now he welcomes us in as family, brothers and sisters, with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who sits at the table, and he welcomes all, even you. If God so loved us in this way, why would you not respond and come to that invitation? Even as you know you are estranged from him, to come. Repent of your sin and believe. If God so loves us, we, the people of God, can love the stranger. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how you have loved us in sending your Son, that he would make that entrance into your house possible, that we could sit at your table, this banqueting table, and enjoy your hospitality. How we thank you, Father, that you have shown to us this example of hospitality. Help us to practice love for the stranger in this way. We need your grace. Open our hearts to receive people into our homes, into the church, and especially welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.